From New Orleans to Grand Forks, experts say there's a noticeable pattern. A disaster hits, communities respond, recovery begins, and 3 to 5 years later, more than half the town's religious leaders have left. That's what relief agencies told Pastor Harlan Gillespie of St. Paul's United Methodist Church would eventually happen in Cedar Rapids. So far, there are no official numbers of how many clergy have left since 2008. Yet Gillespie says he's watching that prediction come true.
There's a fairly high turnover level of that type of leadership because of the amount of compassion fatigue and burnout that takes place with that. And sometimes it's because of the number of times in which it just feels like there's a dark cloud out over there someplace, kind of like creating a rock in a hard place.
Being a clergy member is often a high-stress job. It's public, but can also be isolating and demands an emotional engagement with parishioners' everyday stress, anxiety, and grief. Add a natural disaster like the flood of 2008, and Gillespie says eventually emotional numbness or compassion fatigue can become part of the job.
There's not really many ways possible to kind of release that sense of spiritual angst that a clergy person may be hearing and also then living through with their parishioners. And that adds up over time. It's more than just cumulative, it's almost exponential.
Between orchestrating relief efforts and offering a spiritual response to their community, clergy may never take time away. That's according to Dr. Mary Frazier, Director of Pastoral Care at Iowa's Conference of the United Methodist Church.
Oftentimes, they're caught up in the energy of staying present and juggling all these balls in the air until, you know, people start feeling like their worth and their value is commensurate with putting in incredible hours with no rest. You'll never be able to keep that up. You know, that pace will lead to your demise in a certain way.
Frazier says compassion fatigue isn't just a problem in Cedar Rapids. Clergy across the state, from Waterloo to Des Moines, were significantly involved in flood recovery. But the process was particularly challenging for Charles Dougherty, a minister and director at Serve the City, one of Cedar Rapids' interfaith organizations.
You have to go off the clock, and you have a family. And that's why I'm still here, because between the flood and now, I skirted on the outskirts, the bubble of depression, but realized where it was and got help. And I skirted on the edge of compassion fatigue, but realized where I was and got help.
For Dougherty, help came in receiving pastoral counseling himself. Serve the City has already lost 4 members since the flood. Now, Dougherty says his mission is to get fellow clergy that same assistance.
The goal that I have is that every pastoral colleague in that I'm connected with would be involved in a supportive group by the end of the year. And I'm going out one-on-one visits to see them, and that's what I'm speaking about.
But Pastor Gillespie of St. Paul says clergy as a group are often resistant to counseling.
It's ironic, isn't it? Because on the one hand, we encourage others to come in and talk and pray about what's facing them. But we don't necessarily avail ourselves of the same type of thing that we would like others to do. And it's necessary. I mean, it's a part of our vulnerability. It's a part of our humanness. We have to embrace that.
The success of these various outreach efforts is still uncertain. But religious leaders are hoping that this time, information and awareness can stop the flood from taking a greater spiritual toll. In Cedar Rapids, I'm Kate Wells, Iowa Public Radio News.